Hi, everyone. This is Paul Yeager, and this is the MTOM Show podcast, a production of Iowa PBS and the Market to Market TV show. It's time to meet our second farmer for the 2024 growing season, and we're going to go to Michigan, and we're going to go to the Mitt, right in the center of the Mitt. Mason, Michigan is where we're going to find Don Osterle, or Donald. I'll refer to him in both. He farms with his brother, who they both farmed with their father and grandfather, and now the kids are getting involved. So we're going to lay out the family lineage here in the Michigan area for Don and his family. And our connection comes via Angie Setzer, market analyst on the TV show Market to Market. So thanks to Angie. We'll start talking about her in a minute, but we're going to find out a little bit about the crop makeup. And I do have a question in the middle when I talk about sentiment. There's surveys. Sentiment surveys. I didn't do a good job of explaining that to Don, so my apologies there. And we hope you stick with us for this series. We'll talk again in the middle of the growing season, and then at the end, if you want to go back and watch any of our episodes, you can like and subscribe, and then go into the archives and find out what we've been chatting about through the world of agriculture. Feedback for me, that's easy to do. Send it in an email to paul.yeager, that's Y-E-A-G-E-R, at iowapbs.org. Now, let's get to meet Don Osterle. The first question is, Angie Setzer, really? Nobody else would take your money? What's your relationship? I know what my relationship is like with the goddess of grain. Don, what's yours?
So technically she works for me, but we're more or less friends. so we touch base probably once a week, at least during the slow periods, just to chat and see what's going on with the markets.
What have the conversations been like the last 2 to 3 years when nothing seems to be normal?
Well, the last 2-3 years, we spent the time usually talking about how we got it wrong from the time before when we talked. So we're like, is it going down? Well, yeah, we think it's going down. Nope, it didn't go down. It went up. So we were, Angie's probably better, but I am notorious for being on the wrong side. So
and that's when she comes back and says,
she comes back and helps me out. Yeah, no, she doesn't say, I told you so. She gets me leaning in the right direction. So when I say, I got a good idea, she's like, yes, sure, that's an idea, but not sure it's a good one.
let's just set it up, I guess, before we get back into more of you. Let's talk about you, Don. Where are you located?
Yep. So we're located in Mason, Michigan, which is just south of Lansing, basically right in the middle, almost in the middle of the state. It's raining right now.
See, that's the fun weather of Michigan, right?
Yeah. Yep. We are cloudy and rainy, or we're dry and cloudy. So, we're in the middle. We've got pretty decent dirt here. Not like the mid Midwest, but, we got pretty decent dirt here. So, it's fun to farm here.
What is the farm makeup then?
So we have corn, soybeans, wheat, alfalfa. We raise a little bit of canola, and we also have a feedlot.
Big feedlot or one of them hobby lots?
Pretty big for around here. It's 1,500 head of Holstein steers. So not big for probably around your area, but it's pretty big for around here.
It's big enough for anybody. That's nothing to sneeze at right there. And I'm guessing that might be one of those reasons you're always having conversations with Angie.
Yeah. Yep. And it was really nice when Carl entered because we get a little more of the cattle side now. So that really helps me out.
What have the crops been like what was last year's crop? Did you catch enough rain or could you have always used more?
Last year we caught enough rain. We had one dry spell for about 5 weeks, the end of May, first part of June, that really basically anything that was planted after May 20th really didn't come up till
around the last week in June. So we saw a huge decline in yields for that last portion of the crop that was planted. Even though it was planted in a decent time for around here, you know, May 22nd, May 24th, it just sat there in the ground. So beans took a really big hit off of that.
Because beans,
corn managed, but beans took a big hit.
Because beans always are that whole, like, they don't like wet feet, cold feet. If they don't take off, they struggle.
Yeah, and that was the problem. They didn't take off. So then that portion of the ground just struggled all year. So beans were down a little bit.
What is usually the first day of planting for you for corn or beans?
So we like to start anytime after April 15th. So if we actually thought we'd be going today, but then the weather changed and it rained last night and is sprinkling again right now.
Is there anything in the ground?
Yeah, we got 44 acres of hay in the ground this spring.
Hey.
But that's all we've got. A few of the neighbors got some. West of us got a little bit in. I don't think you could call anything in the ground, because it's just basically a few guys got the planter going to make sure it worked. And that's pretty much it around here.
And you were hoping to be that one today to get rolling, make sure things worked. And
Hoping the one today to get rolling, but no, Mother Nature had other plans.
Are you by yourself or do you have help family wise?
Nope, we have a lot of family involved. So I have I have a twin brother. He's a partner, and my dad, we're partners in the operation. And then I have both of our wives work for the farm. And then there's my son, Russ's son, and my daughter work for the farm. So we have... Well, you can come back and add up.
That's a lot. And how old are the kids that are in now, that third generation?
So they're just finishing college. So 20, one's 20, one's 22 or 20, and one's 23.
You're going to have...
I can't let my wife watch this now that I had to struggle through the ages.
We won't worry about the ages, and I want to ask you names or anything like that. Was the plan when they went away to come back?
Yeah, so they're actually, they go right to MSU here. And, my nephew, he got an agribusiness management degree from Penn State, but he just did that online because that started with the whole COVID time. And then my son is getting a crop and soil science degree from MSU, and my daughter a livestock degree from MSU. So we have things covered pretty well.
I'm guessing that livestock operation might change then.
Yeah, she's wondering when the next barn is going up.
Well, that's always that.
I said, not quite yet.
Well, what was that conversation like when you said to your dad, when you and your brother said you were coming back? Was that always your plan?
Yeah, we always, after we got over being small kids, and first we were going to be NFL football players, then NBA basketball players when we got a little more height to us. Once we got past that, then we always wanted to come back to the farm. I've worked on the farm since I could walk, so we have a blast with it.
And your dad, did he work with other people too, or did he start this whole thing?
Yeah, so he farmed with his dad. So my dad and my grandpa had the farm originally, and then my grandpa retired, and then my dad, brother, and I have the farm.
And so then your kids would make fourth generation.
Yeah, actually, one of the farms will be fifth generation.
So in those generations, there's always those conversations of what are we going to do? So did you say to your dad and granddad, this is my idea. When are we going to start planting canola? Or when are we going to put up a hog barn or a cattle barn? What was your contribution to that?
So we were... So when we started, Russ and I, we actually started a little we used all dad's equipment. You know, we mooshed as much from him as we could, and we started renting our own ground. So, which was good because he made us, that made us make decisions. And Russ and I were actually the ones that started putting some cattle in. We bought an old dairy farm, tore all the freestalls out, and started putting some feeders in. And then when we wanted to add more feeders, we went and enlisted dad because he had more money.
Ah, the first bank of dad helped out a little.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Now, how active is he now? You say he's involved. I mean, is he basically the keys completely over to you and Russ?
So we like to call it semi-retirement. So he comes whenever he's in town, which is a lot. I mean, they take a couple of vacations a year, but he comes every day, see what's going on and work, but he's not really involved in the day-to-day decisions. So he's kind of let that go.
And with you and Russ, you have Angie as a marketing. So who's mechanical, agronomy? How do you divvy up those?
So both of us got a crop and soil degree. So we kind of divvy up agronomy together because we both like it. And then I take care of all the marketing and the accounting and business end. And Russ handles all the equipment and the employees.
It's a heck of a good divide right there.
Yeah, it works out. We get along very well. So it works out really good.
Let's go to the 23 crop. How much is left to market?
Not much. Only what's going through the cattle right now. So we're generally aggressive sellers. So we like to sell a lot. I like to sell a lot before fall gets here. Then I don't have to worry about it. So if we can hit what we want, then we just go ahead and pull the trigger and sell.
So then have you already done that for 24?
We're working on that right now. We're a little bit behind what we would normally be. We have some sold. Let me see your corn. We're probably 20-25% sold on corn, probably about the same for beans. So right now we do a little bit more on a spring run up, which we haven't seen. I mean, there's been a little, but
this week is the last is the first we've seen in quite a while for run ups, and that's just trying to catch back up to where we were.
Yeah. Well, I told Angie, we were just talking yesterday, I think, and I'm like, this is more like, you know, back in the 90s when, you know, it was a penny here, 2 cents there, you know. I mean, I'm not used to this after the last couple of years, you know. An off day was a nickel, you know, where now you get a 2 cent. If you get a 2 cent change, I mean, it feels like it moved.
Yeah, the yawning that's what it used to be. This year.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at the prices in the past. Okay, so is that, are you even like corn and beans marketed when you say 25%?
So we raise just a little bit more corn than beans. So we'll have about 20% more corn than we do beans. So just with the feed and everything.
Do you find that has been a strategy you've employed for a long time?
We're actually usually a little bit closer to even on corn and soybeans. Last fall was so wet. We got 500 acres of, we usually plant almost 2000 acres of wheat. And so we got a lot of extra wheat ground, soybean stubble that we're putting back into corn. So normally it'd be a little bit closer than what it is, but it's just the way it is from the fall that we were given.
Are you in a position each year to flip acres if need be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So if we're making a lot more money on one, then we'll plant more of one and less of the other.
It's not. So is fall nitrogen a thing in your area like it is in Iowa and in parts of
North? Not really. Guys really don't put fall nitrogen on. Everything goes on in the spring. So you're either putting on anhydrous in the spring, urea, or there's a few guys that still use 28%, but mainly it's anhydrous and urea.
And so that allows you
go on in the spring pre-plant.
That allows you the flexibility then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. If nitrogen gets way high, then you just put a little more of the other in. So if beans price isn't that good, then you just put a little more corn in. The fertilizer is not too bad.
Is there a day you like to lock in what your acreage is going to be for the coming year?
Oh, we'll start in January. We'll pretty much know what we're going to do. So we'll have all the costs in by then. So we'll know what we're going to do.
And that, again, is the whole look at the hot hand. If we have some stuff we want to flip, we're going there.
Yep. Yep. There'll be some ground that we like to keep a little bit of a rotation, but we're fine if we have to go 2 years corn on some of the stuff. So
you said a few hundred acres on wheat, or was it a 1,200 on wheat last year? What's your acreage number breakdown looking at for this year?
So we're sitting right around 5,000 acres of corn, 4,100 acres of beans, 1,400 acres of canola, and then we only got about 500 acres of wheat in.
Is the wheat already in? Is it winter or is it spring?
Yep. It's all winter wheat around here, yeah. Yep.
Do the canola, when does that get planted?
So that gets planted, usually we plant that after our wheat in August. But since we only got 500 acres in, we're going to try something new this year, and we're going to plant some after soybeans. So we'll see how that goes.
So hopefully by June 1, if everything goes fine, you'll have the canola in?
It's winter canola.
Oh, winter canola. So you're saying in October, November is when you would plant it. I gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, we like to plant it in August is when we like to plant it. And this is only this will be our fourth year doing it. Because they just started receiving canola at a local elevator here. So this is our fourth year. So we've always planted after wheat before in August. But now we're going to try it after soybeans this fall, see how it goes.
And what made you enter canola?
Price. So it's down a little bit this year, but you know, the previous years to this, the price was really good. So, which was nice because it gave you time to learn how to do it and still not pay for your mistakes. So you could still make some money on it, even though you screwed up something.
Prior to the nearby elevator taking the canola, where were you taking it?
We didn't have any. So until ADM here started taking canola, we didn't do any.
Do you know what?
So I guess Guy said it'd been I can't remember how many years they said it's been since there's been canola around here before ADM started again.
And the what are your outlets? Because you're not necessarily near a river that ships, but what are your options?
So the canola, they take it right. Are you talking about canola? The canola, we deliver it at a local ADM, and they put it on a train and haul it over to Windsor, and they have a crushing plant in Windsor.
Okay. And then where does your...
So they're getting canola for a lot less transportation than what they normally would for that plant.
And then where does your corn and beans, what are your options for outlets for them?
So part of the corn goes through the cattle. And then part of our corn will go through, there's two local ethanol plants that they go to. And every now and then we'll send some to, some of the pig places on the west side of the state, or there's some dairies up north of here. So wherever we pretty much go, wherever the market's calling for it.
But you have options. You're not stuck and married to just one.
Yeah. No. Both ethanol plants are the equal distance from our grain facility. So we could go either
way.
That's
just like our guy in Nebraska. Same thing. He's like, it's 1 mile more here or 2 miles more there. So
yeah, that's the same.
Sounds like the same for you.
It's like, yeah, same. One's a little bit easier because of the highway, but I'm not driving the truck. So, I mean, we're going wherever it pays the best.
Now, I know you're closer to Michigan State, but the University of Michigan has their sentiment. And I know that farmer sentiment through Purdue is always kind of hit or miss. What's the farmer sentiment where you're at, Donald, this year?
Towards Michigan?
Well, not necessarily to the University of Michigan, but just farming in general. How are you feeling?
I guess towards the college or towards just...
Just agriculture in general. How are you feeling? You feel like you got good markets? You have a good opportunity?
Oh.
Or are you like, we're dry, we're not going to recover?
No, we got plenty of moisture. There's some wet holes still holding water. So we got plenty of moisture, and we're supposed to get some heat next week. So I think we'll be in – well, I mean, the weather changes all the time. But if the forecast holds, we should be in pretty good shape.
Because you're not in a drought.
Looks like
– you're not in a drought situation or coming out of it. You're stocked.
No. Yeah, we had that dry weather beginning of summer last summer, and then once it hit July – somebody turned the faucet on and then never shut it off. Thankfully, we did not get our average amount of snowfall this year. So we were lower. So it helped things dry out a little bit. So we're in pretty good shape for moisture levels. We're probably a little bit above, but which is fine for this time of year.
Prices are what they are. We talked about, you know, you've already, you know, sold some stuff. You're not having to still market a lot of that old crop. So you have to feel good about that in the sense of 23.
Yeah.
It's now just that 24 with it. You're maybe a little farther behind and you're kind of a little more type reaction.
Yeah. The way the markets look, we're going to need at least an average yield to make our margins. So, which if we can get in the last week in April, next week, then we'll be in decent shape. We haven't got anything planted before. Last year, I think we started May 12th, and the year before that, we started May 10th. So if we get in April this year, we're a couple weeks above the last 2 years. So we won't be complaining.
Yeah, I've noticed around you. I mean, I guess reading Angie's either tweets or commentary where she talks about or just messages with her of, you know, super wet around her.
Probably only when she makes you, right? You know, just when she texts you, hey, have you read my last one or whatever?
Yep, you know Angie. You got her right there. Yeah. What do you anticipate this year that you think – will you change any of your outlook on the cattle? Let's go to the cattle then for a moment, because we see these cattle on feed reports come back and we look at numbers and then we have viruses come through. What's your outlook or sentiment, I guess, on livestock?
So the way we run our cattle, it all depends on the price of the feeders and where the futures are. Because as soon as I book a load, we sell 3 loads. So we can contract them right away. So the price of feeders have really jumped up the last month and a half here. So we had some contracted to come in. So those are fine. But the next group, I don't know if we'll get any in June or not. So it'll be, the feeders are pretty high.
Where do you normally go to try to find feeders?
So I have, I've got a guy I usually get $700-$800 a year from, and then the rest of them, we buy through UPI here in Michigan, United Producers.
And I'm guessing they're telling you it's the price is what the price is. Whereas there's,
yeah. Well, they got sellers on the other side that want the most that they can get. And I don't blame them. I mean, there was some lean years there where they weren't getting much. And so, it took a real jump. The last couple prices I got have been much closer. So I think we'll eventually get close to where we can continue to buy some. but we just may have to go a month or so without getting any.
Well, when we chat in July, we'll see how the trucks rolled. We'll see if you beat that, get stuff planted by May 1. We got a lot to follow up with. I got a lot of notes here for our next conversation.
Yeah. Well, that'd be great if we got a lot in by May 1. I'll be a happy camper in July.
That'd be good. Sure. All right, Donald, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
No problem.
New episodes of this podcast come out each and every Tuesday. Like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen or you can watch via our YouTube channel. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.